Let's all stand together. It's good to see you in the Lord's house tonight. Let's turn to page 331 together. The song the ladies were just playing, He Brought Me Out. We'll sing the first, the third, and the last verse as we begin together tonight. Page 331. Sing it out with me on the first verse.
My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and lo, in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of His wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise Him till all men His goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth and trust in God. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah.
Amen. Great start tonight.
Sure, good to be back in God's house tonight. Sure, thankful that you're here. Our Wednesday night service, the oasis in the desert, as we often call it around here. And so I do want to welcome you tonight, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, because we need to welcome Him as well. Amen. And so let's pray tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Gary Clark if you would pray for us, brother. Amen. Amen. Why don't you be seated tonight? And man, I'm blessing to see the buses running and the pile of kids downstairs. And I was sitting in there in my office praying, and I could hear them downstairs. And I don't know if they broke anything, but anyways. I did want to mention a few things tonight. Of course, good to have Brother Jack and Miss Lizzie Parker home with us. And Miss Madeline Parker is due at any time, so I wanted to mention the gift basket that is out there in the outer foyer. It's a gift card shower for Miss Madeline Parker as she makes her way here. And then, of course, this coming Friday night, certainly a big night as we have our annual youth rally. And so that'll be at 6:30 in the evening. We'll start feeding all of the youth groups and things like that over in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium. And then the service will start at 7:30 Friday night. And so I want to encourage you to be here. If you can help out, that'd be great. If you want to partake of the services, that's fine as well, too. But certainly allow our guests to come piling in here. I know they'll fill up the place, but we sure want to be a blessing to them while they're here. Of course, we're also going to be having Brother Sam Davison. He's going to be our guest preacher. preacher for the youth rally. And then, of course, Glory Bound from Heartland Baptist Bible College will be here with us as well. And then, of course, they'll be staying over for the Sunday services on March the 24th, this coming Sunday. And so, again, wanted to mention this. We'll have a combined Sunday school class for the adults as well as the teen class. And Brother Corey Weirs out of the Heartland group is going to be doing our Sunday school. And then our missionary, Brother Jonathan Switzer, him and his son are actually going to be the sponsors for the group as he's still waiting for the visa situation to clear up in South Africa. And so he's going to be here. And so he's going to be preaching in the morning service. Do want to encourage you to be here for both services because they'll be providing special music in both of them. And so I know they will be a blessing to you. Also, church family, don't forget about March the 26th, which is Tuesday. We'll be meeting together as a church body to observe the Lord's Supper. That'll be at 7 o'clock Tuesday night. It is for church members in good standing only because that's what the Bible teaches. Amen. And so, of course, we'll be looking at all of that and then observing the Lord's Supper to honor our Savior. We will be having our normal services the following Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And so make sure that you're aware of those things. And then, of course, Sunday is Easter, March the 31st. And crazy how fast it's happening, but that's Easter for you. And so, but looking forward to celebrating our Savior. And, of course, we'll have an Easter cantata by the choir, and then we will preach the gospel, amen, because that's what it's all about. If you have kids in Faith Baptist School, don't forget about there is an Easter break. March the 27th all the way through the 31st, that Sunday of Easter. And so those are the announcements. Of course, there's a lot of other things coming up, especially in the month of April. Be much in prayer for our missions conference. And then also I mentioned this Sunday night, but if you are concerned about the yearly schedule and things like that, I know a lot of people try to plan their vacations or their time off around different things. Our October Fall Revival dates have changed, as well as our guest preacher, and so with some scheduling issues there. And so we are going to have to move our Fall Revival to October the 13th through the 18th. And so make sure you're aware of that. And our guest preacher this year is going to be Brother Jeff Hastings. He's a dear friend, and I know he would be a blessing to you. Okay, if you would, take out your prayer list tonight, and let's go through that. We'll kind of move right along here. Did just want to mention a few things tonight. Of course, got a lot of things to pray for tonight, and certainly some very heavy things. Praise the Lord, Miss Marie Christian had her eye procedure yesterday, and it did go well, and so she is at home recovering from that. And so if you would pray for her, I know Brother Gary was saying she was wanted to come tonight, but wasn't kind of, you know, just begin to swell up and stuff like that. And really good to hear his dad got to go home from the hospital. But do pray for Gary Waters Sr., if you would, and with the gout situation. And then, of course, wanted to mention, too, in the first column, about three-quarters of the way down, Randy Frazee. And that is Brother Jim Wisdom's nephew. And so I don't see Brother Seth, but that would be his. Oh, he's on the camera back there. But, of course, that would be his first cousin, but has cancer. Basically, it's gotten to the place where the doctors are not really able to do anything for him. And so he's really not doing good. And so if you would pray for him, just a really tragic situation. I think he's 44, 43 years old, young guy. And somewhere around in there, mid-40s, and at least I feel like that's young, amen, and just pray for that situation. He does say that he knows the Lord is his Savior, and so thankful for that. Pray for Brother Roy McCray. Got a text tonight. He fell, I believe it was yesterday, and so pray for him, and also Miss Sue as she ministers to him. And then, of course, in the second column, about three-quarters of the way down again, Genevieve Newman, that's Miss Christy Wisdom's grandma, finding two acute fractures in her vertebrae, and they were able to do a procedure for her yesterday, and so she was doing a little bit better today, but if you would pray for her. And then also Brother Dick Webster, if you would pray for him. I talked to Miss Karen Webster, his wife, last week, and so they were going to see the surgeon, and so he is actually facing heart surgery, and so if you would pray for him. Then we've got a lot of folks on our prayer list for health issues and things like that. Someone that you can add tonight is Debbie Glenwater. That's Miss Libby, her aunt. is having a hysterectomy surgery. And so if you would pray for her, add her to the prayer list. And then I wanted to mention this tonight. If you would pray for Brother Kevin Metzinger, a good preacher friend, and Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, and just a dear family that's in the church over there. They had a young man, I think he was about 17 years old, and killed himself Monday night. And so just a real gut-wrenching thing. And so if you would pray for them. In fact, we've got two of our ladies that are actually over there tonight helping out, watching their kids as they're just trying to have a special meeting with their church family and stuff tonight over the whole thing. And so if you would just pray for that situation. I don't really know all the ins and outs and details and stuff. I don't need to know. God knows. And so we just need to pray. And I know this. God's grace is sufficient. It's kind of like I've told a couple of men here as of lately, when stuff like that happens, you understand what the Bible means when it uses the word bowels. Because your whole insides just hurt in situations like that. And I've experienced that before, and I hope that I would never experience it again. But the reality is, that's just something that happens through life. And so if you would pray for that situation tonight. Anybody have a prayer request or anything else tonight as we go to the Lord in prayer? All right, Miss Georgie? I'm sorry, say that again. Laura goes to the hospital on Friday. Okay, so that's Laura Stanfield. I'm sorry. Okay, all right. So they're doing this procedure, and so praise the Lord. Let's pray it works, okay? So she's going Friday, and she gets them Monday. Okay. All right, so make a note of that, and certainly let's pray for her as she goes through that. Okay, Brother Griffin? Yes, sir. Okay. Surgery on March 29th to take the gallbladder out. All right, so let's pray for Miss Sarah and that situation. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update? Anything like that? Okay, Miss Melanie? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right, so let's pray for Miss Melanie and her allergy situation and certainly her health and things like that. So anybody else got any got any prayer requests or anything tonight? Okay. Okay. Don't mess with me now. I'm all over the place tonight, so let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. Man, I'm telling you, just a lot of heavy things, isn't it? And, you know, I think about Randy Frazee, and I know I've been praying for him along with Brother Wisdom, and then I certainly think about the things that are going on with Brother Metzinger and their church family. But I'm thankful tonight God's able to carry those things. We just need to be faithful to go to Him in prayer. Brother Rich Raymer, would you pray for us tonight, my friend?
Brother Tim found me right before the service. He did ask me to remind you, if you sign up for food for the youth rally, you need to have it here no later than tomorrow evening at the latest. He said, please tell them don't forget. All right, so if you can remember that. Let's all stand together. Turn to page 336. Page 336, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Let's sing all three verses for our last song together tonight. Sing it out on the first.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am.
Amen. Great singing tonight. Please remain standing. Go ahead and get your Bible ready for the message this evening.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I was just looking at this side over here, and I was going to request that maybe a few people would move over here and balance out the room. No, I'm just kidding you. I'm just teasing you tonight. It's all right. It's Wednesday night. Calm down. All right. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 tonight. Sure glad you're here. And looking forward to getting back into this tonight. Of course, we've been going through our pastoral epistles in our Wednesday night services, and we're starting here with 1 Timothy. Lord willing, we'll go to the book of Titus next, and then we'll wind it up with the last one, which would be 2 Timothy. I think it'd be appropriate to keep 2 Timothy the last one. Amen. To finish it out and to fight the good fight of faith and all of those things. But look here at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 6 tonight. All right. Now, if you remember, all right, we started this last week, actually, and it's what I would call the formula for great gain. All right. Great gain is this, having the grace of God on your life. All right. So look at what he says. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. All right. Now, if you go back to verse number 5 at the very end, you'll see why that was given. It was given in light of the false formula that the false prophets live by, where it says at the end of verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness. In other words, if I'm receiving temporal things and I'm getting in, you know, people to follow me, money and all of that, confirms that God must be in this, when the reality is this: Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, he can give you all those things. What ought to confirm that we're where we're supposed to be is this right here. So in light of that false formula, Paul gives this right formula in verse number 6 in how to have great gain with God. And last week we looked at the first part of this, which is the contentment part of this, because he says godliness with contentment. So godliness plus contentment, it equals great gain. And so if you look at verse number 7, here's the idea of dealing with contentment. Here's what he says: for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That means this: when you and I die, guess what? We're not taking anything with us. So if that be the case, then why are we living for it? Why are we making it our standard? All of these things. No, friend, make the Word of God your standard. And then here's the other thing. Look at verse number 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So if you've got food and you've got clothing and shelter, those are the things God promised to provide. Let's be content with that and serve the Lord. And then notice in verse number 9, he begins to warn them and says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and into a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And my, oh my, the stories I could tell as a pastor for 16 years. I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Listen to me tonight. If you don't get anything, get this. You are not above the rule tonight. And I'm not above the rule. If you live based on verse number 5 and that false formula, you're going to mess up. It's going to ruin your family. It's going to ruin your life. But look at verse. So we need to be content. But look at verse number 11. This is where we pick up tonight. Now, so we saw contentment, right? Now we're going to see godliness. So look at what he says. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. And somebody say, amen. And that's how it ends tonight. So here's the deal tonight. We need to be content with temporal things. But here's the thing tonight. Now we got to add in the other part of this formula, which is godliness. And let me remind us tonight, you have to have both. You have to have both. It is not contentment plus carnality that leads to great gain with God. It's contentment with godliness. So here's what we asked last week. Are you content? So tonight, here's what we're going to ask. Are you striving to be godly? I think godly, to say this, are you godly? I think kind of asking that would be to say this. I think anybody that's really striving for it will say this. I'm not there. But I'm battling. And I'm struggling. And I want to get there. And so maybe the right question would be this. Are you striving to be godly in your life? Because it takes both to have great gain with God. Father, would you bless the preaching now in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you be seated tonight? Sure appreciate you standing and honor God's Word tonight. Something that has become infamous at our house is the great chili disaster of 2018. And we had moved up here from Cassville, Missouri, and moved to Lenexa at the time. That was where we first lived there for right at about a year before we ended up moving down to Gardner now. But we had moved up here, and so we'd gotten situated, and my wife had decided to make chili for supper one night. She has a great chili recipe, and it's my mom's recipe. And then she has, her and the girls have gotten together and they've tweaked it here and there over the years because we like a little kick, amen. A chili, good bowl of chili should clear up your sinuses and allergies, amen. And so, and I do love it. And so she gets everything going in the crock pot and starts putting all the spices in. Now, there are two very important things that created this storm that we endured in our family. All right, there's a lot of sarcasm tonight. Sorry about that. One was this. My wife has lost all of her sense of smell, so she can't smell and in which she is hoping that she does get that back after the sinus surgery that she just had. And she did get a little of it back. But in fact, I got nervous because now she can smell me. And so I'm thinking I might be in a little trouble here. I got to start, you know, putting in anyways. But the other thing is this, is that the cinnamon bottle looks a lot like the chili powder bottle. And so Natalie ended up adding a whole bunch of cinnamon into that chili. And so needless to say, this drastically affected the outcome. It gave the chili a very strange flavor. I felt like it should have been on top of ice cream or something like that. But listen, this is the one time that we had leftovers with our chili. All right, and to this day, we were talking about this yesterday because I was saying I'm going to have to confess our cinnamon chili powder mix up, and she said, you know what's funny? And she said, to this day, that cinnamon is still in a completely different drawer than all of the spices that I use for everything else, and just to make sure that she doesn't mix it up. Now, here's what I'm saying to you tonight: you can have the right recipe. But if you don't put the right ingredients in, it's going to affect the outcome. And it's no different tonight with the formula that God gives us in verse number 6. I want you to listen to this tonight. God created life. Come on, somebody. God created life. Let's wake up tonight. God created life. Somebody say amen. And God knows how to make it work. All right? And so here's the thing. But when you don't put the correct ingredients in, I'm just telling you, you will not get the same outcome. I said this last week. I've known people where they were godly. They were striving to be godly in their life and living for God, but they were not content with temporal things, and it definitely did not lead to great gain in their life. It ruined their life. It hurt their life. It set back their life until they got some things straightened out. And praise God that many of them did get it straightened out. But I'm just saying to you, it didn't have this outcome. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this: I've also known people who were content with temporal things, but they simply were not godly. And because of that, listen, they were carnal, they were fleshly, prideful, whatever you want to say. But as a result, they too did not experience the great gain of this verse. Both ingredients are important, which is why the Apostle Paul, he spends so much time talking about contentment, but then in our text tonight, he moves right into the subject of godliness to challenge Timothy, that Timothy, not only do you need to be content in your life, but you have got to strive to have godliness in your life as well. If you want the outcome to be that God's hand is on your life and your ministry and your family and everything, that, Timothy, is great gain. And so he challenges Timothy tonight with this subject of godliness, which really, if I could say it like this, it's been one of those underlying themes, so to speak, all throughout 1 Timothy. I mean, we saw it in chapter 2. We've seen it on multiple occasions, and now here we are again, and Paul is challenging him. Again, kind of makes you think tonight, maybe godliness is pretty important in the Christian life. You understand what I'm saying? So here's the thing. So this is the question for us tonight. All right, preacher, godliness, that means to be like God, to be Christ-like, like Christ, so to speak. It's to have holiness in our lives. It's to have all of these things. So how do we begin to practice this? How do we put this? How do we have godliness in our lives? And Paul really begins to show us some things here in how to make that, how to have that take place in our life. Look at verse number 11. He says this: "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." And so right here, here's what I would say. If you take notes, this is the first thing tonight that I believe Paul's saying here is this. Number one is this: there has to be a changing of our priorities. There has to be a changing of our priorities. Godliness in verse 6 isn't just about changing the appearance of the outward man.
You understand that tonight? Though don't get me wrong. I realize that some of that was dealt with in chapter 2 and dealing with the godly appearance of women and godly men, all of those things. But that changing on the outward is really to be a reflection of what is taking place on the inward man. Our salvation, our daily walk with God, our brokenness before Him, our willingness to submit to Him, a fellowship with Him, our love for Him. The list could go on and on, but what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is this, is that what's going on out here ought to really be a reflection of everything that's going on in here, because that's where true godliness starts. Ultimately this, folks, godliness is about making Him preeminent. All right, preeminent simply means this, first in rank. It means this, to make Him first place and above all things in our life. It is the idea of making Him first place, walking with Him daily in His Word and in prayer, being obedient to Him in our personal lives, learning to live holy and apart from this world, being faithful at church, to worship Him, to serve Him, to honor and glorify Him in everything that we do. Godliness covers a broad stroke of things. I mean, that's the reality. It covers a broad stroke of things, which is why it's taken 6 chapters in Timothy to really cover the bulk of it. But again, it begins with us making a decision that we're going to change the priorities of our lives and we're going to put God first in it. To make that decision. And that ultimately is what begins the step, the process of having godliness in our lives. I look back on Natalie and I, our lives together, and I'm very thankful that we were put in this position of really making a decision about God early on in our marriage. And I'm not gonna go into a great amount of detail tonight because I've told this testimony on a multiple occasions. And I think I even used it some last week as well. And I don't want to bore people with it or overuse it or anything. But I'm just telling you, it was a pivotal decision in our life. And Natalie and I hadn't been married very long. And Madison, our oldest daughter that's 25 now, I mean, she had just been born. And so, and the chemical plant that I was working in was closing down. And I had all kinds of temptation to go on the road as a welder and make more money. I had all kinds of guys talking with me and encouraging me to go one direction for the other, and I'm trying to find a different job here, and what do I do? And I'm very grateful that we sat down and we started weighing all the pros and the cons of all of this and what we were going to do. And the reality is this, it was more important for me to be in church with my family. It was more important for me to serve the Lord than to make more money or to have a bigger house or more stuff or whatever. I needed to be content, but at the same time, I needed to have God preeminent in my life and in my family. And the point is this. This is the exact same idea in our text tonight. Our priorities need to change. We need to set our affection on things above where Christ said, not on the world, but on Him. So that we can live for Him and have godliness in our lives. And really, Paul helps us with some of those things. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know what I think? Listen, this is what I wrote down here. Number one is this. If you want your priorities to change, you need to listen to this tonight. If you want your priorities to change and to have godliness in your life, then you need to go all in for Jesus Christ. I know that's kind of a cliche saying, but the reality is that's true. It's not to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church house. It's to go all in. And what I mean by that's what I think the word flee right there means when he says this, for the love, or verse number 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know what that means? That means this, run from it. Get away from it. Turn loose of all of that stuff. You don't need that. And run after God and chase after Him and follow Him. It doesn't mean to linger or you know, kind of hang out. Well, I don't know. Should I go? Should I? It doesn't mean to go, well, I'll go, but I want to take a little bit of this with me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying flee. Man, he's saying to turn loose of it and run from it. Because here's the thing, listen to me. Because if you do, if you don't flee and you want to try to have one foot in and one foot out, or you want to take a little bit with you, I'm telling you, mark it down. Those are the things that are going to eventually drag you back. You have to go all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Not half in. Not, I'm here looking for loopholes tonight. I know we would never do that. That's all in. When you change your priorities, change them all the way. I was at a preacher's meeting this past week in Wichita, Kansas, and I ran into a preacher friend of mine, a good friend, who's going to be here with us next year. And so we were sitting down and we were talking, and he was telling me about his year. He was actually planning on going to the Philippines later on in the year and to be there with one of their missionaries. And I was like, oh, really? Who is it? Because I'm familiar with some of the missionaries that are over there with the Philippines, and I thought I might know him. And then he told me the guy's name, and I didn't know who it was. And so I was like, oh. And so he said, well, he said, brother, he's a really good guy. And he started telling me his testimony, and just a phenomenal testimony about how God had worked in his life. He was actually a Filipino national, but his parents had came over to the U.S. He'd gotten saved and was in church, and so he went to school here, got his business degree here, and the guy got into business, even started his own company, and became a multimillionaire. And God began to work in his life and began to deal with him and called him to preach and called him into the ministry and eventually started dealing with him about going back to the Philippines and taking the gospel back to the Philippines. And so as the Lord started dealing with him, he surrendered to all of that. And then listen to what he did with his company. Here's what he did. He sold his company. And when he sold his company, he made even more money. And here's what he did with all of his money. He gave it all away. Now, the first thing that went through my mind was, I wish I'd have known that guy back then. But then I'm listening to this preacher friend of mine, and he looks at me and he goes, man, I was totally shocked when I heard that. And I'm sitting there, and he asked the guy exactly what I'd asked him, which is this: why? Why did you do that? Why did you sell your company? Why did you give away all your money? And here's what the guy said: because I didn't want it to be a temptation that would lure me away from God's calling on my life. Whoa. And this is immediately what I thought of. He's exactly right. Because here's what Jesus said: no man that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of it. This is why Elisha, when he received the calling to follow Elijah, he went back and he took the oxen that he was using to farm and he cut them all up and sacrificed them and fed all the people. It wasn't just about being a blessing to the people. It was about cutting down, doing away with that which would lure him back. You understand? Look at what happened when Lot's wife looked back. Wasn't good. You understand? This is what I think of. When I think of flee these things, I think of Joseph. When Potiphar's wife grabbed his coat, man, he just let it go and ran. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Timothy, if you want to have godliness in your life, and so that you can add it to contentment and to have great gain in your life, then Timothy, the first thing that you need to do is you need to flee all of these things. You need to flee from it, and you need to go all in with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put God in first in your life and be serious about it, serious enough to change your priorities and turn away from these things. But then watch this. But then as you do, look at the rest of the verse. So he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. But then watch this. And follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and peace, patience and meekness there. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, go all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Flee these things. And then when you do that, watch this, add all these things of God into your life. That's what's seen in the word follow right there. Reminds us that as we leave the old things behind, it's important to embrace the new and better things that God has for you. You know why? Because even if you do flee, you will leave a void in your life. And if you do not fill that void with the things of God, eventually you'll go back to the old things and fill that void up with the old things. If you remove worldly music from your life, great. But let me help you with this tonight. Put some godly music in there. Why? So you're not tempted to go back to the worldly music. If you leave some old friends, great. But here's something. Why don't you come to church and get some good friends? Why don't you come to church and get some new friends? Some friends that won't tempt you back to the old ways, but will encourage you in the new ways of God. You understand what I'm saying? Do you see how the principle works there? And the same could also be said about living for money and material gain and the things that Paul is dealing with in the area of contentment. As you turn away from that mindset and that way of life that, oh, if I get and get and get and get and get, that means God's all in it. No, no, be content. And so as you move away from that mindset, flee that stuff and then put the things of God in your life. Put the things of God in your life. Okay, so what, preacher? Well, here's what you ought to put in there. He says this, righteousness. Add righteousness in there. What's righteous? What does righteousness mean? Well, here's what it means. Here's what it means. You ready? This is deep tonight. Here's what it means. Doing right. I know that's not very deep, but the truth of the matter is that's where a lot of people need to hear. Just stop it. Stop it and do right. That's the deal. In other words, as you flee living for temporal things and embrace living for God, then start practicing doing right according to His Word. Not what you think is right. Not even what I say is right. Do what the Bible says. Here's let me just give you some practical things tonight. So now we start the application, and that's where people start getting nervous. Make it a priority to be at church when the doors are open. That's doing right. It shouldn't be a question that we ask ourselves or that our children ask us. You feel like going to church tonight? Dad, are we going to church tonight? We going to church Sunday? Listen, that should be something that we already know. Because we've decided I'm going to do right. I'm changing priorities in my life. It's the right thing to do. It's the biblical thing. No. Don't start with me tonight. Don't start arguing with me. I'm just telling you. I feel it out there. Don't be this crowd that goes, well, you don't have to be in church to worship God. Well, that's true, but you do need to be in church to obey God and to do what's right. And if you want to worship God, you need to obey God. The fact of the matter is, when people say stuff like that, all they're doing is justifying doing what they want to do. They're really not worshiping God anywhere. So do what's right. Here's another one. Oh, man, now we're really getting in there. Make it a priority to tithe. If you're going to put God first above money and material gain, then that means He is also first in the money that we have now. It is certainly right and commanded by God. And besides that, if we're not willing to invest and sacrifice towards the things of God, that just shows how really uncommitted we are to the things of God. So make it a priority to tithe. Make it a priority to serve in some capacity. This will certainly help you stay accountable and faithful, but it will also allow you to see how God can use you for His honor and His glory. Listen, get in church. Be at church. Get involved. Give towards it. Get involved. Be in the choir. Work on a bus route. Help out in a Sunday school class. Show up to outreach. Get involved somewhere. And watch what God can do in your life. Those are the right things to do. Now, there's a multitude of other things here, but notice the next thing is godliness, and I think it's important here to see this, that where righteousness speaks of our obedience in the public arena, godliness speaks of our obedience in the private. Let me give you some more things tonight. Make it a priority to have a personal walk with God. Make it a priority to follow. Listen, get in the Bible. Get a daily Bible reading calendar and follow that thing. Well, preacher, it's already in March. Who cares? Get in it. Just get in the Word. Start spending more time in this book than you do stinking Facebook. Spend time in the Word. And listen, make some time to spend with Him in prayer and to walk with Him. And I know people are going to say, well, preacher, you just don't understand. I don't have time. We do have time. We just don't make it a priority. We don't make it a priority. Listen, I can remember getting up and going to work at 5 o'clock and knowing I had to be there. And I began to realize how difficult things were when I wasn't walking with God. And so I started getting up at 3:30 in the morning, man. And I made a pot of coffee, and praise God for coffee, because me and coffee and Jesus, we spent time together that morning. And I'm telling you, every morning, and that I'm just saying, make it a priority. Listen, here's something else. Make it a priority to let God change you personally. Don't be content. Listen, be content. Be content with material things. Don't be content spiritually. You understand that? Don't be in such a stinking rut that you can't be challenged in the things of God. Be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Let God speak to your soul and convict you and deal with you. Hey, let Him change your tongue. Let Him change the things that you say. Let him change the places that you go, the friends that you have, the things that you do, the stuff that you're watching on TV. Let God have a work in your life. Don't just come to church and then go, well, that was cool, and then go home and do whatever you want to do. No, have a personal walk with God. It's not just about righteousness in the outward man. It's also about godliness in the inward man. But here's some more things. Look it down. He says, so he says to follow after righteousness, and then he says godliness, then he says faith. And faith is not only implies trusting in the Word of God, but also knowing the Word of God so you can trust it. That's a great quote, wasn't it? Somebody should write that down. Faith is not only implies trusting in the Word of God, but also knowing the Word of God so that you can trust it. It is the equivalent of saying this: why don't you learn what you believe and why you believe it? That's what godliness is. It's growing spiritually. It's learning the Bible. It's going, hey, this is what we believe. Now take your Bibles and turn here. This is why we believe it. Oh, wow, I never saw that before. I know. Bingo, you just grew. Whoop, you sprouted a little bit. Here's something else. Love. Where there are the attitudes of the world like pride and rebellion and bitterness and envy and hate and anger and all the stuff that somehow or another God's people tend to have, there needs to be love. That's what godliness is. Instead of selfishness, learn to serve others. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Learn to minister to others and love others. Here's another one, patience. This literally means this: cheerful endurance. In other words, learn to go through the trials of life or even the battles of the Christian life with faithfulness. I'm telling you, some of the wisest advice I ever got was this: don't make decisions in your life in the valley or on the mountain. Just stay faithful through those times. Stay, especially in those valleys. Just stay with it. Stay faithful. Just have patience. Endure those things. Stay faithful and have joy knowing this, that God's in control. God knows what's going on. Then he says this, add meekness to this. He says, follow after these things. Follow after meekness is the last one. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is humility that ushers in the power of God. And you certainly think about Moses in the Bible. The Bible says this: Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Moses was not weak. Moses was meek. Because Moses would humble himself before God, and then the power of God would show up on his side. And that's what you and I need in our lives. Listen, the idea here is this: learn to add these things in your life. Do what is right. Live holy. Walk with God in the inner man. Grow spiritually. All of those things are godliness. That's what all of this is about. But here's the point. Listen to this tonight. You have to make this a priority. This cannot be a flippant decision. When Natalie and I, when we decided this, when we decided money wasn't everything, I also didn't say this, well, I'm going to stay local so I can be with my family. Because it wasn't just about family. It was about making Christ preeminent in our lives. Listen, I wasn't staying home so that we could make sports an idol in our home and go to all our kids' ball games on the weekends. I wasn't staying home so that we could let the children become our idols that we worship and they make all the decisions and determine what we do in our spare time. No, I wasn't doing that at all. I was saying this. I was saying, I want to be content, but I also want to put Christ first in our family. You understand that? And this had to be a priority, a change. So that means this. That means what I was doing ultimately was this. I was fleeing these things and I was changing the way that I was thinking and I was putting, I wanted to add the things of God in my life. And I'm just telling you, listen to me. I'm telling you, 25 years later, and I'm telling you, I praise God that I made that decision. And Christ must be preeminent in our lives. That's what godliness is all about. Now let me give you the second thing. So he says this, your priorities got to change. So key. Starts there, ready? But now look at the next verse. Look at verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So here's the next thing, all right? As you change priorities in your life and family, you also need to be aware of this. Conflict. Conflict will arise. It's amazing. Paul said, flee these things. Follow after these things. Oh, hey, by the way, fight the good fight of faith. What? What do you mean fight? Because there's going to be a conflict. That's why Paul uses the language that he does right here. It is a battle. He says this, lay hold on eternal life. You know what that means? I mean, listen. He's not saying, Timothy, you got to earn your salvation. Timothy, you can lose your salvation. It's not what he's saying at all. Timothy has already been saved. The Scriptures made him wise unto salvation in 2 Timothy 3. Come on, he's been saved. What he's saying is this, Timothy, it is a fight. It is a battle. Have some grit. Lay hold on this stuff and don't you let go. And even consider the outcome if you turn back. You're going to ruin your testimony. And the truth is, a lot of people have today because they did it out of their own selfishness and pride and they didn't even care what other people thought about them and everybody's looking at them going, that was fake. When it's not really fake, they just didn't have any grit. They didn't change their priorities. And they didn't put godliness and contentment in their life. You need to understand this tonight. There's going to be some fights. There's going to be a fight with your own flesh. Oh, man. Some of you are worn right now, man. You need some coffee? We should have had coffee and donuts before the service. You could have had a sugar high and a caffeine rush. And then probably been asleep during the invitation. You understand? There's times in my flesh, now just honestly tonight as a pastor, there's times in my flesh where Wednesday night I'm going, man, I really don't want to go. But I'm the pastor and I got to go. I'm just telling you, it's a fight, man, your flesh. But do you know this? Every time that I've said, I don't, and I go, I'm so glad that I went. Because that was exactly what I needed that night. And it's like there's this warfare. And really, it's just, I'm just telling you, and the devil's just trying to keep you away from what God has for you. But there's just going to be, listen, there's going to be a fight in your flesh. Do you know this? There are days where I miss my Bible reading. in my prayer time. And I miss it. Because I get sidetracked or I get too busy. Because I start, man, I'm telling you, I have to do it first thing. Because if I don't, I get going and it's hard for me to stop. Man, I'm just wired that way. I don't know if that's how you are, but that's the way I am. Naps aren't in the book, but I'm hoping they get there pretty quick. The older I get, the more I'm starting to like naps, man, I'm telling you. But I'm just saying, it's just sometimes there's times where that happens, where I didn't spend time in the Word, and I didn't spend time in prayer. Now, here's the thing. The next day, I don't just quit and throw it all, you know, and just go, I give up. I can't do it. No, I get back on the horse. I catch up in my Bible reading. I spend some extra time in prayer. I ask God for mercy and forgiveness and get back into it. Is anybody getting this tonight? What I'm just saying to you is this, that, you, listen, if you're sitting here tonight going, man, I didn't know he'd, yeah, everybody fights that. If you change your priorities and you want Christ to be preeminent, you mark it down. The devil and the flesh in the world, they ain't going to like it. And your flesh is going to war against those things. And so you need to be aware of that, that it's going to happen. In fact, here's something else. There might even be a fight in your home. I'm telling you, I'm very grateful tonight that Natalie and I, that we work as a team. And she is my helpmeet, man. I'm telling you, and I'm very thankful for that. And when we sat down years ago, and we were comparing those things. Money isn't everything. Let's put Christ first in our family. She was on board with everything, and I'm glad for that. But I got to be honest with you. That's not the way it always goes for spouses. Because I've seen it where one spouse is like, man, I'm saved and I want to go all in. I'm ready. Let's go. And the other spouse is like, well, you know, I got this going on and I want to do this. And like, listen, and they're all about this temporal stuff over here. And there's this warfare that goes on, and it's a recipe. I'm telling you, it's a recipe for disaster. It's like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, how can two walk together except they be agreed? No, I think that was Amos that said that. But here's what I'm saying to you. That's the Bible. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And usually what happens is this, is that one's wanting to follow God. The one that's wanting to follow God ends up giving up. And it becomes a mess. Let me help you with this. If you have a husband that wants to live for God, then ladies, you ought to be thankful for that tonight. In a day where men want to be children and want their wives to be their mama, when you got a man that wants to live for God and lead his home and his family and love him, I'm telling you, that's rare. Praise God for that. But men, if you have a godly wife, be thankful, because we're in a culture where there's just this Jezebel spirit. And man, I'm telling you, women can be, men can be carnal and fleshly. Women can be carnal and cruel and fleshly and all of those things. But the bottom line is this, in the husband and wife relationship, you are a team that is to work together for the betterment of your home and marriage. And the way that works is this, through godliness and contentment. Be on the same team, working together, not working against each other, because that only destroys what God wants to do. And parents, you need to know this tonight. Listen to this. When you sit down and go, we're changing everything, we're not doing this stuff the way the world's doing it, we're putting God first in our home. We're putting God first in our family. We're going to obey God. We're going to follow God. We're going to live for God. Guess what? You may have a fight on with your kids. And the young children are going to be shocked with mom and dad's newfound discipline. I don't want to get out of bed on Sunday morning. I want. There's probably some adults in here that could act like that. I don't. And you're going to have teenagers. Son, and they're going to kick and scream and fight with rebellion. But let me help you with this tonight, mom and dad. I want you to listen to this. You are mom and dad. That means you are still in charge. Get the belt off the back of the door, work them over, put them in the car, and get to church. All right, that didn't go over very well tonight. Here, let me help you with this. They eat your food. They sleep under your roof. They need to obey your rules. How about that? Whether they like it or not, they need to respect it and do it. And I'm going to tell you tonight, listen to me, it's not going to be easy at first. But it'll be worth it. Sure be worth it in the long run. There might even be a fight from those around you. The truth of the matter is, when you look at verse number 5 and you examine it closely, gain is godliness. That's the world. That's the way the world operates. That's the way the world wants religion to operate. And so when you surrender to verse number 6 and you operate based on that formula, the world's going to think it's crazy. I had coworkers going, have you lost your mind? When we sold our house in Florida and moved to Missouri, have you lost your mind? And I joke about it, but the truth is, I was following God. And I'm just saying, I had family members go, well, he must be in some kind of cult. No, I'm just doing what the Bible said. I'm just telling you, you're going to have that. And here's why. Listen to me. Here's why. Because they are used to verse 5's formula. And verse 6 is strange to them. Oh, yeah, sure, people love the verse. They like to quote it. That sounds so cool. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But they're not living it. And all of a sudden when somebody does, it's strange to them. In fact, it might even be a little convicting to them. And that's why they're saying the things that they're saying, in hopes that you'll come back to verse number 5 and do it the way they do it, so they're not convicted to do what you're doing in verse number 6. How about that? Y'all all right? I'm just telling you how true. But here's the thing. Just keep fighting the good fight of faith. And here's the last thing tonight, and I'm through, and this won't take very long. But there must be a change in our priorities. Then there's going to be conflict when you do that. But here's the thing that will help you to do all of it. You got to understand that one day Christ will judge you and me. Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. You see, in this last section, Paul charges Timothy, well, really, once again, doesn't he? But this time, it's to keep this formula for life, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And here's why. Because one day Timothy is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's going to give an account of himself, and he's going to give an account of his ministry and how he lived for the Lord. And what's going to matter in Timothy's life is not how much money he made or how big the crowds were that followed him, or how great his kids were at sports. What's going to matter is how he lived according to the Word of God. Did he do what was right? Did he walk with God in his personal life? Did he grow in his faith? Was he faithful through a lifetime? Did he love others? Did he serve others? Did he have patience with others? Because those are the things that are going to matter. I think sometimes we forget how long eternity is versus how long this temporal life is. And that's why we tend to value the temporal so much. I mean, think about it. You know, if God allows you, you might live on this earth 70, 80, 90 years. But you've got all eternity with Christ if you're saved tonight. That's forever and ever and ever. But yet, why do we value this? Because we don't think about it in that light. But I also think this, that we also forget, We tend to forget that one day we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to give an account of ourselves. And I think that's why we oftentimes fail to have godliness. And we live for this temporal world. I was sitting down with a preacher friend one time and we were talking about this. And we were talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm telling you, we both came to the conclusion of you can only go in the Scripture so far. There's really nothing that you could say or do to paint the picture clear enough in the hearts and minds of men. Yeah. Of how terrifying and powerful that scene's going to be. Where the saints through all the ages come and stand before Christ. And we give an account to Him. And I'm just telling you tonight, I don't want to stand before my Lord and watch all the temporal stuff that I lived for burn up. Wood and hay and stubble.
Right.
I want to have a crown.
Yeah.
Maybe two. I don't know. I'd like to have some jewels in that thing. Some gold and some silver and some precious stones.
Yes.
I know there's much greater men than me down through the ages that have lived for the Lord. I'm sure not worthy to be with those guys, but if I could just have one or two jewels, I don't know. But here's the thing. If I'm going to stand before Him and I'm going to get anything out of it, I got to live based on verse number 6. I got to have contentment in my life and just be content. And whatever God gives me, God gives me. And I'm just going to trust Him. But the second thing is this, I got to have godliness. I got to walk with God in my personal life. And I've got to obey Him in my public life. And I've got to love Him and live for Him until either He comes for me or He calls me home. What about you tonight? You still hanging on to verse number 5? Still chasing after those temporal things? Are you willing tonight to make some changes in your priorities? Put some godliness in your life. Put some contentment in your life. And watch what God does. Let's all stand tonight.